Hey, Derek.
Quick question for you.
Yes, Mike.
I believe there was Sublime told us there was only one way to stay sane. What was that again?
I don't know.
I believe the term was, fuck it, fight it, it's all the same. A day with Louie Dog's the only way to stay sane. Let the lovin' come back to me.
Hmm. All right.
See, Mike, I don't know that
channeling the love, Derek. Love. Love is going to be on tonight's podcast. For the love of God, love's going to be on the podcast. Love, Derek. Somebody find me Louie Dog.
Thank God I'm not alone in this room with you. I'd be afraid for my life. Thankfully, Corey Lavallette of the North State Journal is here to help out here, Mike, because apparently you could use a hug, I think.
We're gonna talk tonight, Derek. Me, you, Corey. Hi, Corey. Good to see you again.
Hey, hockey hugs all around.
Hockey hugs all around. I'm done, Derek.
Done with what?
Take it. Just take the podcast.
What are you doing? Because I know last night.
Drink beer.
I know.
I'm gonna stand back and drink beer. You and Corey take it.
Are you done?
Oh, Mike. Oh. Is Mike? Are you buying the team again?
No. No, guess what? If I bought the team, there'd be changes tomorrow.
You'd have a trade to announce.
We have a trade to announce. Ladies and gentlemen, we have traded defenseman Justin Faulk for a bag of useless shit. Useless.
Can anyone tell the difference? Let's watch. Mike, you are in rare form tonight.
Jesus.
It's like last night has kind of just bled into today. I picture that you went to sleep just grumbling in your sleep at the Canes because you were in rare form, sir.
So I came home after the game last night, may not have been in the best state of mind, was completely sober, but just angered, and came home, had a three-year-old who was battling the sniffles, who woke up at approximately midnight, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there, and crawled into bed with the wife and I, and he was kicking to the point where my wife got out of bed and went into his bed and slept, and then at 2 o'clock, he woke up and looked at me and said, Daddy, where's Mommy? And I'm like, she's in your bed because you kicked her out, and he's like, I don't want you, I want Mommy. So I was like, you know what, kid? Love you. Tired of you. Go away.
Where is this going?
I went and I grabbed my wife, and I was like, go deal with him. I love you. Go deal with him. I went downstairs. I slept downstairs. I woke up this morning, still angry. 12 hours later, still angry. It's not going away. We have about 45 minutes or so on this podcast before we get to tonight's bottle mix beer review. Before we get to that part, we're going to work this out. Collectively, that's why we brought Corey in. Corey could be the voice of reason. Derek, I don't trust you. Your alarms are too long. I don't think you could be trusted. Okay, I had to bring Corey in.
So I noticed you started with a 90s song from Sublime, but I think we need to play another 90s song for you, Mike. It's okay. By Third Eye Blind. It's called Jumper. Because I really wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
No, I'm not stepping back from the ledge.
I'll understand.
No. It's Derek.
Yes.
You know what it is on this Cane season?
What?
It's closing time.
Ooh, Semisonic?
I don't care where you get it. I don't care
God,
where you
why
go.
Why did I know that was Semisonic?
But you can't stay here. Corey. You know, back away from that mic. Corey.
Yes, sir.
Hit the damn X button.
I just want to make sure this is the
hit
right
the X button!
Button.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Derek currently has his hands on me. For those of you who can't see the video portion of the podcast, Derek was actually trying to hold me and saying, Mike, it's going to be okay. It's not, Derek.
No,
it's done.
It's going to be okay because,
no, it's
Mike,
not. No,
here's
not.
The beautiful thing. Not only do we have the voice of the PNC Arena, Wade Minter, introducing us, the Section 328 Cheaters and Run podcast is still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. Was that you or Derek Ryan?
That was Hayes Permar's reaction to having to cover all of the North Carolina-based basketball teams' games in Brooklyn, and they're all night games.
Mm.
Yeah. Not sitting well with Goodson, Permar, and the boys.
No. So, Mike, it's been a little while since we last had a podcast. We bludgeoned the Kings, which was nice, but I feel like the Canes may
for
have...
For a period. No, but we didn't even bludgeon them for an entire game. We bludgeoned them for a period, maybe a period and a half, and then we're like...
We did let them back in.
And then we're like, oh, let's let them back in. Let's Canes get a Cane. And we're like, oh, no, come on back in, guys. Come on in. Feel the water. It's great. Enjoy.
Assholes.
So that,
I hate this team.
So that there were a few.
If you're currently on Bluetooth heads, like a Bluetooth speaker, go ahead and put this on your headphones because it only gets worse from here.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow. All right, man.
Wait till we start talking about 27.
Good Lord. So Corey, let me turn to you because Mike is just beside himself right now. What changed between the Kings game and the last three games?
I don't think anything changed. I think the biggest problem this team has is they don't win any games easily. They haven't had, you can count on one hand the number of games they had where you went into the third period and thought Bill can roll the fourth line every third shift and rest his big guys because they just don't play that way. Bill said it earlier in the year. It's a race to three, and that's the way he coaches. And that, I mean... If this team were to make the playoffs, I think they're probably pretty battle-tested for playoff games because they do play well. They do play in tight games. I'm going to say they play well in tight games, but they play tight games a lot. They don't play a lot of 6-2, 4-1 wins. They just don't. So I don't think anything changed. I think it's just a team that is incapable of winning five games in a row, the way they're constructed.
Yeah, the weird thing is, you mentioned that if this team got into the playoffs, which is, you know, looking a little bit more and more grim as the days pass, despite the Islanders today, thanks for losing. But I feel like this team would do better in a seven-game series than seven consecutive regular season games against different opponents.
I think that would wear teams down. I really do. I think that the style they play would wear a team down in a seven-game series. The problem is, you don't get to play the same teams over and over and over again in the regular season. And they're just not, you know, everything can be predicated on a bounce with this team. It's like if one bad goal goes in, that's the difference between a win and a loss. And that's not the case throughout the rest of the league for good teams.
Well, and you had mentioned that, you know, Steve Dangle, you know, when I think, you know, it's Duthie, it's Myrtle, it's Dangle. Steve Dangle earlier said, you know, you don't want to have to play a series against this Carolina Hurricanes team. And I think that's to a point because this team can wear on you as it's worn on me now for 18 fucking consecutive seasons. But this team, the way they are currently constructed, I believe they are a playoff team. Should they ever make the playoffs? The problem is, do they have the requisite grit and the requisite, what's the word I'm looking here for? A desire. Desire is the word I'm looking for. Yes, I'm looking at my 27-7 and just people who don't.
Hold on. So real quick, as an aside, Corey, if you were a betting man, is that Justin Falk making it through the night?
I will
say the signed canvas of Justin Falk.
Yes, it will make it through the night.
Okay.
I have faith in you, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk. Do they have the requisite desire to actually put in the effort that it is going to take to make it to the National Hockey League postseason?
I think there are guys that have that. And I think without a doubt, Sebastian Aho has it. Without a doubt, I think Jordan Staal has it. Jordan, I think Jordan might get a little bit of a bad rap because Jordan in front of the microphones is different than Jordan when you're talking to him. So he comes off as kind of like
wooden.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not Jordan if you just stop and talk to him. You know, hey, how was the bye week? And Jordan is as smiling and happy as can be. And so I mean, I think, you know, Aho for sure. I mean, I think Skinner has it. I mean, I think Skinner wants it. Beyond that, it's tough to find a lot. I mean, Justin Williams obviously has it. I mean,
so let me ask you this, right? So you mentioned on a team that is struggling to score, and in terms of what you felt was guys who wanted in leadership, you mentioned a series of guys who all play on forward. The strength of this team, as it is currently constructed going into this season, was all based upon the strength of our back end. and you did not mention a single solitary person in the seven-man defensive core for the Carolina Hurricanes who may have the want, will, or desire to drive that. Why do you think that is? Is that coaching? Is that personality? Is that experience? Because we do not have a single guy on the back end who has ever played a single playoff game not named Trevor Van Riemsdyk. God save Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
I think it's all those things. I really do. I think I think Jacob is a great player. He's not a ramp it up to a next level player.
If Falk, Slavin, Hanifin, Pesci were a group, is he the Nash of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and the other guy?
The other guy. The other guy's the best one.
Neil Young?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, he wasn't in Sublime, so I'll give you a pass.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Jacob's a tough guy to put a read on because I think he's a really good guy, and I think he's...
Great guy.
And he's a family guy in a room that's filled with a bunch of single guys. He's a family guy, and not even a family guy, a married guy in a room with a bunch of single guys, and then some guys who have kids. So he's kind of on an island on his own a little bit. I think Brett has a little bit more in it than Jacob has, I'd say, as far as intensity. It's lacking. You're absolutely right. It's lacking. For all of Radko Gudas's faults, would anybody be sad to see Radko Gudas back on the Canes defense hitting somebody every shift?
Yes.
No. No.
Yeah, I don't want Radko Gudas.
Well, I think that's part of the problem of the culture here, though, is that so many people have gotten to a point where they want good guys. The Hurricanes have had good guys.
Oh, it's not that I want good guys. I just don't want Radko Gudas specifically.
Okay.
But another guy who's not afraid to throw the body, like, I'm totally good with that, even if...
Hey, Derek, look me in the eyes.
Yeah.
Yes, Mike?
Brooks Orpik. Not his contract. Brooks Orpik. 20 games to end the season, that type of player. You taking him?
I'll take 5 years ago Brooks Orpik. I don't want 2018 Brooks Orpik.
Okay.
I think I think that's a major problem here, is that there is not, outside of Brock McGinn and Justin Williams at times, and Klaus Dahlbeck, I think, gets a lot of flack for his play. But when he's on his proper side, when he's on his, you know, his proper defensive side, he hasn't been bad. And he's a physical force that they don't have. Trevor Van Riemsdyk if he has 10 hits this year, like by NHL.com, I'll be surprised, because about 10 games ago he had 6. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you have every guy that's the same guy, Noah Hanifin's an animal. I mean, Noah Hanifin's neck is like a tree trunk. And how many hits are memorable from Noah Hanifin this year?
Somebody pointed out yesterday, because I think Wayne Simmons got into a fight, that he's 6'2", 185. Like, he is not a bulky guy. You could even describe him as a little bit wiry. But he is the power forwardiest power forward you could want. And I think when, you know, you talk about the hitting and a Radko Gudas or a Brooks Orpik kind of guy, there kind of becomes that equation in some people's minds of hitting with goonery. And we don't need that goonery, but you need a guy with a little bit of that nasty streak who can just hit. Like, I mean, I think of back with when Ruutu had two working hips. That guy was a truck. And while not the biggest guy in the ice, you knew that he was going to hit you. Most of them were going to be clean, but he was going to hit you. And this team could really use a lot of, you know, 2011 Tuomo Ruutu right now.
Well, and Derek, you mentioned... You mentioned Tuomo Ruutu. We mentioned guys who can hit. And Corey brought up our client, Brock McGinn. Brock McGinn, who is coached by former Hurricane and Nashville Predators great Scott Walker. When I think of the guy that this team could use, it is Scott Walker. You know, a guy like Scott Walker who can come into a locker room, be a leader, and folks will want to hit on his behalf. And I think Brock McGinn carries a little bit of Scott Walker in that locker room with him in the way that he plays. So I ask you this, if Brock McGinn plays differently than I think both of his brothers do, and I think Brock plays with a little bit of Scott Walker in him, is that an indictment upon the coach that you can't get the guys to play the game the way necessarily the National Hockey League is dictating it from that? Or are we, or is this system so, let me rephrase this. Are we playing the system despite our players, or are our players playing the system despite themselves? Maybe that's the question I'm asking there, Corey.
I definitely think there's a systematic issue. You see it when you have games where you're getting 40 shots and no goals. You know, Bill has said himself that this team has the talent to make the playoffs. If he doesn't get them to the playoffs, that's an indictment of him. You can say that Bill hasn't had the players, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it that any coach is going to say, yeah, we have the guys to do it. But just a few years ago, before they traded for Teuvo Teravainen, he said, we're 2 years away from playing as fast as we need to play to be a competitive team. And after they had the offseason where they added Teuvo, I asked him, I said, you said last year at the end of the year, you're 2 years away from playing. Like, is that still the case? And he said, no. He said, we can do it now. So that was beginning of the season last year. If you haven't gotten it yet and you are saying out loud that you believe that, now I realize you can't come out and say my players are garbage and I need more. But he said over and over again, they have the talent to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't do it, that's an indictment of him. I mean, you can blame Ron all you want, but if the coach is saying he's got the guys he needs, then...
And for all the shots that this team has, it kind of feels like, and I mentioned this to you earlier, was it feels like late stage in his coaching tenure in Carolina, Paul Maurice, where it's just we're getting shots from odd angles to say we have a lot of shots. And, you know, now as fans, we have the benefit of various fancy stats sites where you can go look at heat maps of where the Canes are shooting from and compare that to where the rest of the league is shooting from. And on the season, the Canes are shooting less than the average team from the slot. Like, it's an area where you're allowed to, you can pick a corner, you can do some different things. Like, yes, we're getting some shots from the crease, but we're not getting them from the slot. And it feels like the system kind of stifles the creativity of a guy like Teuvo, of a guy like Aho. And last night I saw Jordan Staal trying to deke guys one-on-one. I'm like, everything was just seemed backwards lately.
Well, and Derek, I'll even, you know, last night during the game, Noah Hanifin took three guys out of their jock strap.
And, it was and gorgeous.
It was beautiful. No, he did the
Until the end part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did the Eric Cole, you know, commemorative shot over the crossbar. But still, the fact he was able to do that. But again, there's part of me that, you know, wants to believe that Bill Peters is quietly seething inside that, you know, Noah Hanifin had gotten so out of position to get that deep into the slot. Because again, when our defensemen get deep, our defensemen are deep along the wall. They're deep, they're deep in the cycle. They are not deep in the slot. And I'm trying to recall, I think that actually led to, you know, a tough save that Cam had to make the other way. But it was not only exciting for the fact of we had a great chance and we got a chance to see a guy like Noah Hanifin show his skills, it was exciting for the fans. And at some point, isn't this an entertainment game? Aren't we trying to figure, I mean, if I wanted to see a team go out there and win 3-2 every night and do shutdown, I could just watch old tapes of Lou Lamoriello's team in the late 90s. It's, you know, and we mentioned the LA game, right? The LA game, we went out there, we pumped in a bunch of goals. It was a horrible goaltending night by Jonathan Quick. You know, couple of weird bounces. Justin Falk's shot were actually getting through. But that was it. It wasn't anything special. There wasn't anything exciting. It was a big, hard slap shot that a guy's been shooting for 60-plus games this season. He just happened to not hit the guy 3 feet in front of him. The guy 20 feet in front of him just happened to miss it.
Yeah, it regressed positively to the mean.
Right. So I don't even... Corey, what do we need to change? I mean, we asked this question today on the Twitters. Do we change the coach? Do we change the players? Do we not change anything? it just feels like this was the season we all came in saying this is the season that it's going to be different. As we sit here today, the New York Islanders lost to the Minnesota Wild earlier today, so we are officially in the second wild card position.
Yeah, game in hand.
With a game in hand, as Derek mentioned.
The two-goal lead of positions, because it's the worst spot to be in because nobody seems to want it.
What do you do? I mean, it's we're sitting here, and do you placate the fans and make a quote-unquote visible push? Do you stick to the plan, or do you realize that the team that you have on the ice, while numerically in a playoff position, is one of the teams that could put, I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, let's play this one out, Derek. If the playoffs were to start today, the Carolina Hurricanes would play a 7-game series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. How would that go?
Not well. I don't think it would go well.
It's a 4-1. It's a 4-1 series, right? We lose that. We get two home games. We potentially win one of them because, you know,
assuming the building isn't full, because we don't win in front of full crowds.
I mean, no, game four is not full.
Okay, yes, then we win that one.
No, we lose game one, we lose game two, we lose game three. Everybody sells their tickets for game four. There's a bunch of Lightning fans in there. 16,727 show up to the game. We win 3-2 in overtime on a Brock McGinn redirection in the second overtime, and then we all think everything's great. And then, you know, of course, in game five, we lose 5-1. Not that I'm playing this out of my head.
So back to the question, though, Corey.
So angry.
What do you do with this team?
Make it stop.
Because we have, 7 days now to do something.
Well, if you were gonna make a change on the coaching side, it would have happened today, I would think. Just with the fact that they, and I definitely think everyone's ears kind of popped up a little bit when they canceled. You know, they went and decided not to have practice today or tomorrow. That felt like a could change be coming. You know, as of,
I mean, because when you were on a 3-game losing streak, the last thing you'd want to do is practice.
Right. Yeah.
Hate this.
So, I mean,
so
I think, you know, I don't think a coaching change is going to happen. I've said this once, if I've said it 100 times, but there is not a track history of a coach missing the playoffs his first 3 years with a team and then turning it around, with the exception of expansion teams. So Barry Trotz would be your one exception to the rule. Is Bill Peters a good enough coach to turn this around and be the coach for the next 6 years while this team is in its prime? I don't know. So, I mean, if a change didn't happen today, I don't think that change is going to happen. And if it was going to happen, now was the time to do it, in my opinion, because you could have probably brought Mike Vellucci here, hoped for some John Cooper like AHL coach magic.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, you know, Dave Tippett is still out there. Joel Quenneville could be out there. And we know the new owner is willing to spend money, which is something that, you know, if we had asked for Dave Tippett previously under the previous ownership, I think people would have been like, you never afford Dave Tippett. And now I think you can realistically say, Joel Quenneville? Yeah, okay, we'll pay him. So on the coaching front, that's where that stands.
Yeah, I noticed you failed to mention a Sutter.
Yeah, I... self preservation.
I was gonna say as the hashtag local media guy in the room tonight, the fact that hashtag local media failed to mention a Sutter.
Well, and I think there's also right now we've got the guy who took runner up in the most Albertan man contest. We don't need the guy who won it.
Good point.
And so, the rodeo already came through town, so. That was the one chance, was to get it when the rodeo came through.
Corey, the other thing I want to ask you about, because you are around this team much more than Mike and I are, is what's up with Scott Darling? So I know that there were a week or two ago, there was public talk about the fact that he was working extra after practice with the new goalie coach and like trying to just build up his confidence and maybe not throw him into a game. Let's make sure we can rebuild him. He's the $6 million man, or, you know, four per year, whatever the hell it works out to be. But then he gets into a game, and it seems like when one goal goes in, the confidence just goes out the window. I don't think it's that he's physically bad. It just seems like maybe mentally he's not at the preparation that he needs to be. But again, you see him more than I do. what's going on with him? Because I feel like, you know, and aside from forward talent and the grit we've talked about, that's the other missing component, is Scott Darling not being what we want / need him to be.
Yeah, I mean, if I had an answer, I'd probably be on the Hurricanes payroll right now.
I mean, here's your chance.
Yeah.
We're a very influential program, Corey.
I think it's clearly a mental issue, not a mental issue, but right. You know, it's in his head, I think. I don't think Scott is the most talented technical goaltender in the NHL. You don't have to be when you're 6'6" and as big as he is. You can live with the fact that he loses pucks in his feet all the time, mm-hmm. which is the thing that stands out the most to me outside of just the breakdowns. You could live with a goalie who has a weakness, which for Scott, in my opinion, is that he loses a lot of rebounds in his feet, can't find it, rebound gets knocked in.
I think you just said he had a giant five hole.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think you can live with that, but the, you know, just the goals we've seen this year that were just flat out, you know, you can't even make a defense for some of the goals that have been allowed. And I think that's all in his head. And I hearken back to his, I don't want to say it was a press conference, his introductory press conference, but after he was signed, he came to the arena and met with the media in the locker room, and he was sweating bullets. Now, that's a big man
mm-hmm.
who is a sweaty man. But, I mean, I specifically remember him asking for a towel from Kyle Hanlon. And I'm just like, I hope this guy can handle this pressure. And the pressure of being the starter in Carolina isn't at what the pressure of being the backup who's jumped into the playoffs for Chicago is.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally, That's a hurdle you have to overcome.
To be looked at as the guy.
Right, exactly. And to know,
not the guy who can play hero in mop-up duty, but like to be the guy. You're looked at. You are making more than your counterpart in net, and now you're expected to have that spot and hold it down for 50-plus games a year. I mean, that is a big expectation. And, you know, I guess a lot of us, most of us probably assumed that he was ready for it.
Yeah, I think that was the hope. But at the same time, goaltending is voodoo, right? I mean, Cam Talbot right? last year was the example given for why Scott Darling would work here.
Mm-hmm.
And where's Cam Talbot this year?
That's a phenomenal question.
Yeah.
Corey, you're a professional writer. You're supposed to know it. Cam Talbot's currently in Edmonton.
Oh.
Edmonton.
Edmonton.
He's with the Oil Kings this year, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk. Let's talk.
Are we level setting here, Mike? What's going on?
No, I feel like
you're getting ready, and we all kind of need to brace ourselves against a strong, sturdy object.
We're officially 28 minutes into the podcast, Eric. We haven't talked about him. Let's do this, okay? We've talked a little bit about Justin Faulk. We've talked a little bit about the forward core. We've talked about Coach Bill Peters. Let's talk specifically about yesterday's game against the New Jersey Devils.
Okay, well, what would you like to talk about?
It was a game.
It's the fact that Lucas Walmart got called up and played 451. I mean, we can talk about that.
It was the third consecutive game against a Metropolitan Division opponent where you had a chance to separate yourself from the chaff. And yesterday, Bill Peters, in his infinite Albertan stupid haircut wisdom, decided that it was time to play Derek Ryan 20-plus minutes, including multiple shifts, in a hashtag pivotal overtime against with Derek, the line of Derek Ryan, Jeff Skinner, Noah Hanifin. And just so happens to roll them out there when you have the quote-unquote last change against, I don't know, Taylor Hall, you know, the guy who was drafted five positions ahead of Jeff Skinner.
Six.
Was it six? Was he first?
Hall was number one. Okay. Sagan went two.
Yeah, that was bad. How do you let that happen? How does Derek effing Ryan play 20 minutes when you call up Lucas Walmark. I don't want Lucas. Yeah, I don't want anybody to think this. I don't want Lucas Walmark out there. You know what I maybe want is Elias Lindholm with Jeff Skinner, because that feels like not only are you a little bit more defensive responsibly, but you're somebody who can create a little bit. Derek Ryan has had his fair share of nice goals. You know, when girls brought me home in high school, I was the nice boy. No one wants to go home with me. I was just the guy you could, I got a date with him, and you know what? He'll put up with my parents until the guy that I really want to go out with, you know, is off work and all of that. So it was quite possibly the worst coaching I have seen in Carolina since Paul Maurice had 13 consecutive ties as the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. I have not seen more misuse of a player and of a roster than what Bill Peters did with his favorite. And it was Babcockian. It was Mike Babcock does this. Derek, Corey, the Toronto Maple Leafs are preparing to trade for Luke freaking Glendening, so that way Luke Glendening can go play 15 minutes a night for the Toronto Maple Leafs while guys like Nylander and, I don't know, Mitch freaking Marner play less.
Kapanen.
Yeah, Kasperi Kapanen.
Yeah.
So help me understand why I should not call up Greg Perna, who is my season ticket rep, and tell him that he can take his season ticket renewal and shove it straight up his Rudy Poo candy ass, because all I'm going to get for the next three freaking seasons is a now Burton coach with a stupid haircut who only likes to drink water, and he's going to go play his freaking Swiss poster boy Derek Ryan, who he coached in the juniors, thanks Pierre, versus actually playing guys who may have the will, want, and desire to actually make this team better. Tell me why I should fucking give a damn about the 23 guys in that locker room when it was made blatantly obvious to me and the 18,640 people who were in the building yesterday that those guys could give a rat's ass less whether we got our dollars worth out of what they put on the ice. Tell me why I should continue to fucking care, buy a jersey, pay $20 a day to park, why I should invest more money. I've got a three-year-old. I have to buy him a full season ticket next year. Why should I pay over $4,000 for tickets next year if they don't go up? Plus all of the other things. Why should I care? Why should I continue to do this podcast? Why shouldn't we shutter the website? Why don't we just do what we all know we want to do, which is root for another team, then have to spend another minute rooting for a team that could give a rat's ass less about the people in this community?
Corey?
Well, I think we all know you'll buy your season tickets next year no matter
what.
Okay,
you say, I'm tired though.
Yeah.
You know, I really am. You know, I could buy partial season tickets. I could still sit in 328. Derek doesn't have a full season this year.
I don't.
I could pull a wrestler.
Tiny human.
You know, I could give up half my. And here's the thing: if this team doesn't make the playoffs, are there actually going to be people rushing to buy seats in section 328? And I'm going to lose my seat priority, and I'm going to have to pick a new seat. Oh, heaven forbid! Jesus Christ! There's not going to be a single person who is going to line up to go, ooh, that seems like a nice second. Let me go sit next to the really, you know, really big loud guy who's been sitting in the same seats for 18 years. No, nobody wants that seat. That seat's still going to be there. Why should I care? I'm so tired. Derek, I was despondent. I'm tired of caring. I really am. I have cared so deeply about this team. I watch my kid. My kid's out there, and we're playing. You've been here for what, like the last hour, Derek? You know, before we do the
feels
podcast.
Feels like three.
We do a little family thing. We get together, and we have dinner, and we have a drink, and we talk about what we're going to do on the podcast. And, like, aside from me and Finn pillow fighting, you know, we played hockey, and I saved shots. And it's the fact of he's been shooting on me on goal, and he wants to be Jeffy, and I'm the goalie, and he doesn't care who the goalie is because no one fucking cares who the goalie is at Carolina because they all suck. It's just, why should I even object him to that when I could, you know, I could object him to NC State football and only have to go to 6 games a season and still have the same outcome of complete and utter disappointment. Why?
I'm not sure if this is a Derek Ryan question.
Derek Ryan's the guy who pushed this over the edge, though, right?
I understand.
I'm sitting there, and I'm going, Justin Faulks going in a corner, losing a battle, leaning on a guy. Derek Ryan, I'm like, oh, Derek, look, it's going to be the 26th time since the beginning of the second period that Derek Ryan's lost a puck battle because he was so bad in the first period, I started counting how many puck battles he was losing. I counted 26. Derek thinks I'm wrong. Fuck it, I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I was upset enough that I was counting Derek Ryan losing puck battles in the middle of a hockey game that I should be enjoying.
I thought you were counting Justin Faulk losing puck battles.
I quit.
He's got two hands.
I quit. Y'all talk. I don't care.
So,
Seriously, I quit.
I think there is an issue with Derek Ryan.
Y'all talk. I'm going to go get a shot.
There is an issue with Derek Ryan getting the benefit of the doubt that maybe Victor Rask didn't get earlier this year. I think Derek right now, 11 game pointless streak. It's not just a goalless streak. It's no points. I want to say 3 points in his last 19.
Jeez.
That's obviously not going to cut it for a top nine forward. Now there was a moment there where he was the fourth line forward and that we got a whole pitch that, the reason Marcus Kruger and Josh Joris were sent down to Charlotte or put through waivers and then sent down to Charlotte was we want to have four lines that can score. I don't think that Phil DiGiuseppe and Joakim Nordstrom centered by anybody is going to.
I'm back! Here, smell that. Hold on, try to close the door.
I can't confirm that's booze.
I'm pretty sure that's that's bleach. you may want to put those spider arms around
Mike,
him.
Mike, put those Tide Pods away.
So, I mean, it feels to me like, yes, there's a double standard there with and I asked Bill, you probably heard it after the game. I asked Bill, I said, what is it like to have, you know, you've coached young teams your whole time here. The essential game-winning goal that got taken away with the goalie pulled, but the goal where John Moore comes out of the box and leads to the 3-on-1 that Zacha scores on. I said, those are your two veteran guys. That's Derek Ryan and Justin Williams miscommunication. You know, we can use the we're young excuse for so long, but when you've got, you know, almost,
65 years
almost
old between
70
the two of them?
Years of,
yeah,
70 years of hockey player out there. And everybody makes mistakes. I mean, I get that, but you know what you missed while you were getting prepared to get your shot was, you know, 19 games, 3 points for Derek Ryan is where we're at right now. We talked earlier about who cares. Derek Ryan absolutely cares. The problem is Derek Ryan is 5'9", 55 pounds, maybe.
and I think part of the problem is, I mean, every coach in every sport has their guys they can trust, whether the fans like it or not. I mean, sometimes it may be the best player, sometimes it's not. I think what I have an issue with Bill Peters, and it's a lot of like old school hockey mentality, is they seem to trust the guys with a higher floor as opposed to the guys with a higher ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's totally fair. And I think that, you know, that's why Patrick Brown was recalled. And Bill made it clear that, you know, well, we're recalling Patrick Brown because he's not going to play. And I get that. And I asked him pointedly about it. Why are you calling up the AHL's 10th leading scorer? Could you use it as a carrot for a young guy? Like, hey, you're not going to play, but please, by all means, hop on a plane with us. Spend a night in a really nice hotel. Get to know these guys a little bit. He said carrots are what's down the hall. You know, like that's what's in the lunchroom. You know, and I said, is it because you want to keep the AHL team together to grow? You trust Patrick? He's like, yeah, I trust Patrick. And I think that it speaks to what you're saying is that Patrick Brown is a guy who's going to be who he is. He's not going to make a mistake to make a play. He's going to play his 7 minutes, and you're probably, you know, if he was a number six defenseman, you would be thrilled to have a guy that you didn't have to mention once a game.
Sure.
If you're a forward in the NHL, you got to bring something to the table, you know, whether you're a penalty killer or an energy guy or a faceoff specialist or, you know, if you're Valentin Zhukov and you're just going to stand in front of the net on the power play. Like, we don't even want you to skate.
Yeah. Whoa. Isn't there a National Hockey League rule that you're not allowed to stand in front of the net on a power play?
You know, to be fair, I think the power play has actually done that pretty well lately, and that's the reason why we haven't seen Valentin Zhukov, is that if the power play was still as bad as it was earlier in the year, he may have gotten a chance, but I don't think Bill trusts him 5-on-5. I think that, you know, if you're a leading goal scorer in the AHL and you're minus wherever he's at now, 13, 15, you know, however ridiculous you find the plus minus, there is some truth to it in there, you know. I mean, Derek Ryan's got quite the minus on him right now too, so
yeah. I don't know.
It's good to have you back though, Mike.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back. I'm probably gonna take a shot here live on the podcast.
Shot in a beer.
I got puke. Scotty Farrell coming to you live. Anyway. Kind of want to do a line of cocaine right now. I don't know why.
I want to go to
Miami, watch Miami Hurricanes game, you know, hang out with Luther Campbell a little bit.
Ooh. Anyway. Uncle Luke's even get you a jet ski while you're down there.
Okay. All right. So I may have lost my stuff a little bit there. And I apologize for those of you who, you know, may be offended by the words that I said. But you know what? Here's ultimately one of the points that I want to do, though. Is there a guy? I just, again... I don't want to say that was for show, because that was not for show. That's who I am. That's how I feel. I'm passionate.
I can see it in your eyes. That was absolutely not for show.
I'm passionate about this team, and I love this team, and I have invested not only dollars and cents, but my family life around it.
And this wonderful room.
And another room in the house. But I look at that, and I question how many guys not named Tom Dundon would feel that much passion about 1400 Edwards Mill Road. So, Corey, you're a guy who sees this more than we, and I think I don't want to question these guys' work ethic, because I think all of these guys work hard. You don't work hard to become a National Hockey League player unless your name is Alex Semin. But is there a guy in this locker room who can be that rally point, or has Ron Francis for a fourth consecutive season now missed the boat in constructing this team by not giving this team a fulcrum to rally around? That guy was supposed to be Justin Williams, and everything that I've heard is Justin Williams is filling that role. But the problem is, you need more than one in a National Hockey League locker room. Is this team representative of Bill Peters, or is this team more representative of Ron Francis? And when Tom Dundon at the end of the year is handing out evaluations on the year's performance, whose performance is going to get the check minus based upon what you've seen?
Between the coach and the GM?
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that the coach has said he has the pieces he needs. So I think it's on the coach to correct
this. But doesn't
he
have to say that, though? Because if he doesn't, he's
criticizing the guy who can fire him.
Right.
Publicly.
Sure. But I mean, if you're on the end of your rope and you're saying, I need to, you know, I need pieces here. I need something. I need, you know, I think he's mostly disinterested in any of the players in Charlotte at this point being
part
of this team.
But isn't that kind of what he said last night, though? Because up until last night, everything we had heard was, you know, we're making decisions, we're working together. And then last night, in last night's press conference, and that's kind of why we had mentioned, you know, is there a coaching change coming? For the first time in a long time, Bill Peters had distanced himself from management in his comments. Is that the first chink in the armor?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it shows any kind of schism between them. I think maybe it was just a...
Nice use of schism, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. I've got to up the vocabulary here. I think that Tom Dundon likes Bill. I think Ron likes Bill. Bill is an ultra, ultra prepared guy. You guys know when he was hired, the thing Ron said was he came in and he had all these binders full of stuff and here's what we want to do. And he's a prepared guy. He's not a, you mentioned old school hockey coach. He's not an old school hockey coach. Just like, come on boys, go out there and drive someone through the boards. And I mean, there's a plan in place. The question is that plan going to work? I think Bill Peters' fate is probably going to be, and like I said, there aren't coaches who turn these things around. Bill Peters' fate is going to be, he's going to leave here and he's probably going to go somewhere else, like Gerard Gallant, like whoever you want to mention that bombed out in their first play. And Gerard Gallant actually did well to play. For some reason, he got fired in Florida, you know,
Florida. Jeez.
I think Bill's going to go on somewhere else and be very good. I mean, I think he'll probably, I thought about it, you know, when the practice got canceled and kind of your mind starts swirling about is something going to happen. I don't know that Bill's been fired before. If you look at his rise in coaching, it's an ascension. He went from Canadian University to junior hockey to AHL, you know, to assistant coach, AHL coach, kind of bounced around between those two. But it's been an ascension. Bill's been on a climb his entire career, and this is the first time Bill's probably faced true coaching adversity. Now, every coach has adversity, but I think this is probably the first time. So it's going to be real interesting to see how he handles it. It's an incomplete right now, I think. To me, I think it's easy to criticize Ron for not making a big move. But when you look at what he was left with and where the team is now, as far as assets, as far as asset management, as far as cap management, things are better. Now, that's not good forever. And, you know, I hear people mention, well, look what David Poyle's doing. David Poyle, you know, if there's no trades to be made, how come David Poyle can trade Shea Weber for PK Subban? How come he can swing the three-team trade earlier this year that got them Kyle Turris? How can he do that? Well, you know what? If you look at Dave Poyle's career, David Poyle didn't make a trade forever. He sat and sat and sat. Now, because Ron walked into a situation where the playoff drought was already intact, he's not going to get that kind of patience for sure. And it's also, again, not an expansion team. So there's that. But, until Ron makes a really bad move, and you could say the Scott Darling signing looks like a really bad move, but
at the time it was lauded by just about everyone.
Yeah, and it's not a $7 million, seven-year deal. It's not an Alexei Yashin bad move. It's not a Mike Milbarian move, if that's a word.
It is now.
I think Ron gets the benefit of the doubt still, but something's got to change. I mean, there's a divide in the way this team is built. Like I said, there's a group of young guys who are single guys. There's a group of older guys who are family guys. At some point, you know, there needs to be glue. And I think the glue is Sebastian Aho. It's just the question is, can you really expect a guy who's 120 games into his NHL career to be the guy that steps in? But he's the guy. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Sebastian Aho, for all of his flaws with pronouncing his last name, is the guy here that that's gonna be the glue guy. But can you expect him to be that in year two? Connor McDavid was it in year two? Is he in year three? And he's having a good year. I don't see him gluing the team together. So it's a lot to ask of a young guy.
So last question before we get to the next kind of portion of the podcast here. Sebastian Aho is the glue. Right. One of your cohorts, Luke DeCock, recently said on this podcast that, you know, unfortunately, this is a team full of guys who have lost for way too long. I want to say Luke even said the term, this is a team full of losers. And that's, you know, not an indication of their personal value or any of that. This is just a team of guys who have lost for way too long. As you mentioned, Sebastian Aho, 120 games into his National Hockey League career. Justin Williams has obviously seen his fair share of success throughout the league. how do you perform a heart transplant on a team that was so lauded during the offseason with only 7 games left? And looking at the guys who are out there, I'm thinking more about the trade deadline. You know, some of the guys we've talked about, you know, you think about the Mike Hoffmans. You know, Mike Hoffman went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and besides that, he's kind of been a loser. You know, we think about, you know, some of the other players that are out there, you know, anybody who is on the New York Rangers. You know, the New York Rangers had a really good run a few seasons ago, but the guys who were in that run were named Callahan and were named Lundqvist, and, you know, Ryan McDonagh hasn't done a ton. Rick Nash has never won anything anywhere that I'm aware of.
Well, I mean, Olympics aside.
No, that was Matt Duchesne's Olympics, and we all know it.
Man, if you could have gotten that guy, he's a winner.
Is there a guy out there at the trade deadline that can not only service a Bill Peters team well, but can also...
You're going to bring a guy to service the team?
Or Bill Peters.
Good Lord.
Talk
about February.
Is there a guy out there who could not only be the player we need, but also be that heart transplant to maybe transform this team of lovable losers into a playoff contender?
I don't think there's a guy out there. I think that it's got to come from within the room. We can talk about it being a team of losers. The thing Ron said at the beginning of the year was, look at all of the Stanley Cup pedigree we brought in. We brought in Kruger. We brought in Trevor Van Riemsdyk. We brought in Scott Darling. We brought in Justin Williams. Look at all these cups we have. Justin Falk has won an NCAA title. Sebastian Aho has won.
That's me beating my head on the microphone.
He mentioned all the world championship guys from the Swedish team.
Justin Falk, shot. Does anybody think if there's a bar in Raleigh somewhere where Justin Falk is mentioned, somebody doesn't do a round of shots at the bar? This was for you, 27.
Carry on. I have a hard time believing there's like one guy you're going to bring in that is a quote unquote winner, because if Justin Williams wasn't going to be the guy, and maybe that's another fault to Bill Peters, is why doesn't Justin Williams wear a letter on this team? He's the guy who, when something needs to be said, is the one saying it. You know, I don't think that there's a one player answer here.
Yeah.
The other issue you have is, like I said, I think Sebastian Aho is the future of this team, undoubtedly. What is he? Is he a wing? Is he a center? That changes a lot about what you go out and get. If you think Sebastian Aho is your number one center, you don't go trade for a number one center. If you think Sebastian Aho is a winger, well, now we have to go get a center.
And it's a hell of a lot easier to get a top flight winger than it is a top flight
right.
center.
And I think Sebastian Aho could play center in the NHL and be a very good number one center. Would he be John Tavares? No, probably not. But I think he'd be very, very good, and people would be like, hey, that team has a number one center. It becomes a problem right now, because it's like, who do you go after? Like, if you go get a left wing, and, you know, it's still kind of a where does that fit in kind of thing. If you go get a right wing, hey, look around. Right wings are really hard to come by. that's a big part of the problem. And like I said, I think the defense needs a look too. I mean, I think you're just, for lack of a better term, you're a little soft back there. As far as just, you know, when Klaus Dahlbeck is the guy you look to bring some energy from the back end, Klaus is a fine guy. but your number six defenseman, 6/7, shouldn't be that guy.
Okay. Will the National Hockey League allow a Walker on the ice so that way we can get Tim Gleason out there for 20 games?
I thought you meant a Scott Walker on the ice, but.
Oh, God. if we could get Scott Walker back, I would.
He'd do it.
Oh, yeah. Scott Walker would punch modern day Derek Ryan in the face and be like, "Ugh, ow, do something good, do stuff."
You know, the other thing we have to think about with the Bill Peters era is, has this defense grown at all? Do you feel like Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce have gotten better? Now, that's not a knock on Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce. They're a very good shutdown first pairing.
But no, I don't.
Has Justin Falk regressed?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Has Noah Hanifin gotten better?
Marginally.
Yeah. Not. I mean, is Trevor Ariensuyk is who he is. I mean, they haven't had a chance to put their mark on him yet. But none of those guys have improved. Like I said, Justin...
It's a scarlet P. Yeah. Just a big, giant scarlet P in the middle of their chest.
Scarlet P sounds like a really bad venereal disease.
Ooh. And on that note, it's time to go to cheat mail. Cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta get... fuck it. Cheat mail. Derek, ask a question.
Okay. Hey, Mike. I got a... This is the perfect one to transition away from what we were talking about. Okay. In cheat mail.
Scarlet P?
Thank Christ, no. From our pal Will Looper at W Looper. Why do we put up with this shit?
You know what? We're not. From now on, we're not putting up with this shit. Hold on. Hold on. Hey, Will, listen to this.
Don't do it, Mike.
You hear this? That is my signed Justin Falk. That's it. That's my signed Justin Falk 16x20 picture. And it says, to Section 328, thanks for the support. Hold on. Here you go, Will. Trash can's way too small to hold it, but it's in the trash can. I'm not going to dump the trash can yet until after the next game, but for now, it's off the wall and in the trash can.
I can provide visual confirmation. It's in the trash can, and it's now under the desk, and there's a lot more light reflecting off the walls at the worldwide headquarters of Section 328 while Mike tries not to entangle itself in cords.
All right, so Derek, let me find a non... A non F Mary kill question.
Because we had a lot of those to get to.
Yeah, we do. Here's one from overall nice guy, Dane Shookman. He is at Playoff Beard 80. What's one non hockey tradition that you would like to see introduced into the sport? It can be team and or player specific.
I mean, the wave, right?
I was like, something terrible is about to happen to Corey.
I just hit Corey and I think what was the wallet, and if it wasn't his wallet, congratulations, sir.
A non-hockey tradition that should be brought into it. It's an easy answer, but I love the fact that we tailgate, because that's not really a hockey tradition, and I think we do that damn well. I know Pat Clark has been a big fan of promoting the idea of having college bands play in the arena, outside the arena, do that kind of pep band atmosphere. I like that idea too. I think those are two of the biggest things, just things that can build a lot of energy. Here you go. Screw it. Here's the non-hockey tradition I want. You see a logo on the floor, step on it. Do whatever the hell you want. You don't want it stepped on, get it off the floor.
What if there's a rug over it shaped like the logo?
Then you can step on that too.
Do I have to move the rug, the logo-shaped rug and then step on it?
I don't think so. I think
because there is a logo-shaped rug in the locker room.
Yes, I think you can step on anything that's on the floor, unless it is marked wet floor, piso of mojado, and then don't step on it because that's just unsafe.
But you were talking about needing to find a winning attitude, and I saw Goon, and once they stopped stepping on the logo, good things happened.
Well, they also, you know, stopped miming that they were going to...
Wait a second.
You know,
French-Canadian players.
Yeah, do things to someone's mother... that were not appropriate. All right, Mike, let's see here. Got another one. From Carson Brewer. Does ownership, management, coaching, players, anyone within the organization understand the frustration of the fans?
Yes. While I will not go into specific detail, while the Chinook helicopter was landing yesterday at PNC Arena at 1 p.m. prior to the Military Appreciation Night, I had the great fortune to be introduced to none other than new Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon.
Dundon.
Happy Dundon Day, Derek.
Happy Dundon Day to you, Mike.
I can say that without a doubt, Tom Dundon shares our frustration, and Tom Dundon has only been a quote-unquote fan of this team for about 4 months now. And while it was an absolutely off-the-record conversation, I will say that Tom Dundon 100% absolutely understands the frustration of this franchise, and I do not know if I have met a person inside this organization who dislikes losing more than Tom Dundon in the maybe 8 minutes that I had a chance to spend with him. So absolutely, Tom Dundon hates losing. Derek, as Derek's taking pictures for the Bottle Mix beer review,
that's
I'm
right.
going to go ahead and ask a question here of Corey. Corey, this is actually an interesting question. Why don't we get more coverage of the NWHL in Raleigh, considering the amount of National Women Hockey League players that have originated from the Triangle region? They've gone off to play in other regions, but considering the Olympics, women's hockey, the United States is going to be playing for a gold medal, why don't we see more coverage of NWHL in this region to promote hockey overall?
Yeah, I think it's just a manpower thing more than anything. Okay. I mean, it's hard to find time to cover everything as it is. There's nobody that's covering the team on the road, myself included.
Mike Smith.
So, yeah, well, if you work for the team, I don't know that that's covering the team. I love Mike to death.
We all love Mike.
Yeah.
Can we?
Mike had a very nice trimmed beard and a haircut last game, so I'd like to congratulate him on that. It looked very sharp.
I'm pretty sure they cost two bits. Derek, now that you're posting stuff to Instagram, I'm going to call on you to make the next cheat mail because, you know, you're completely unprepared. This is the Derek Ryan of cheat mails.
You've bought me enough time, and I appreciate you doing that, sir. You are professional. From our buddy Overly Optimistic Caniac, F. Mary Kill.
Oh, we're going to the FMKs. Let's do
it.
We got
a bunch of them. The 2006-2007 Hurricanes, the 2012-2013 Hurricanes, and the 2017-2018 Hurricanes. F1, marry one, kill one.
Okay, read those off to me one more time, Derek.
The 2017-2018 Canes.
That is the current Carolina Hurricanes.
Can confirm.
Okay.
The 2012-2013 Hurricanes.
Okay, so that is
the shortened season.
The shortened season.
The Yuri Talusti, Alex Semin.
I was going to say the Yuri Talusti, Alex Semin. Okay, yes.
Yep. And then the 2006-2007 Hurricanes.
Which is the post Stanley Cup hangover Hurricane.
Absolutely correct. Okay.
So I'm gonna start off with the F, which I don't normally do. Normally, I start off with killing. I'm effing that 2011-2012 team because, I mean, it's Semin, it's Talusti. It was one of the three best lines in all of hockey. It was short. It was sweet. I'm Irish. I'll let everyone decide where they go from there.
If there was a fight, it would have been a slap fight. So
yeah. I'm going to marry that 2006-2007 team because I was still in the glow. You know, everything was still good, Derek. I had hope. I knew things were going to be right. And
even if we lost that year, who really cared?
Right. You know,
and Tim Gleason.
Right. But Derek, I will say this, the 2006-2007 Hurricanes would have been the first marriage of the team. And as folks who have listened to this podcast for many years may know, in the grand scheme of things, first marriages don't count anyway. So I would have married that team, which would have meant I'm killing the current 2007-2018 mm-hmm. Carolina Hurricanes.
I think you did that about 20 minutes ago.
Because you know what? This team, as good as they could have been, as good as we wanted them to be, have done nothing but disappoint me. They've disappointed you. They've disappointed Corey. They've disappointed my three-year-old son. I'm pretty sure everyone on the planet is sad about the 2017-2018 Carolina Hurricanes.
Sounds more like you stepfathered them, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
Mike, what you got?
Sure, why not? Let's look here. Let's ask one for Corey here. Other than the power play or directly off of offensive zone faceoff, what does this team actually practice? Drills, deflections. I had a shot earlier. Shots. Anything that involves offensive zone time without actually cycling the puck with their backs to the net and flinging
judicial system
weak wristers on the goal from the blue line. Basically, what our friend at K Kohler 08, he is at Kevin Kohler, is asking is, what in the hell actually happens at practice besides flinging the puck around the wall and then shooting a weak wrister at a goaltender who was way too prepared and could see the shot coming at him?
It's actually, I mean, it's pretty standard stuff, but it's actually a lot of off the rush stuff, whether it's 2-on-1s, 2-on-0s, 3-on-1s. There's a lot of redirection stuff, and you'll see it from time to time where guy kind of, you know, Aho had a chance last night where he pass came through the slot, and he kind of had his stick out to redirect it. Stuff like that, you know, it depends on the day, I guess, but there are days where it's battle drills, where they're playing as if it's a game, and it's physical. So, I mean, I think it's pretty standard fare as far as what NHL practices are, though Bill has added skating lately, ever since that kind of semi-bag skate.
Uh-huh.
He has had at least once or twice since then just made them kind of do a we're doing laps, not laps, but up and down the ice kind of thing. So that's something that's kind of new. Not really sure if that does anything in the grand scheme of things, but...
Sadly, it would seem that it doesn't. Mike, got another one here for you. This is at Sarah with Laugh Track. F. Mary Kill, Kane's Twitter, Kane's Reddit, Kane's Facebook.
Actually, Derek, this one is really simple for me.
I agree.
I am absolutely burning down Kane's Facebook.
That is the right answer.
Killing Kane's Facebook. Also, I am currently 44 years of age on the other side of approaching 45 years of age. So you mentioned a thing called Reddit. What was that? How did you pronounce that?
Reddit.
Okay, so
as if you have like previously consumed media via your eyeballs. The printed word via your eyeballs. You have read it.
I've killed Facebook. I guess I have to F Reddit because I don't know it really well because I'm older. So basically Reddit is the one night stand of this F Mary Kill. And I'm marrying Twitter because hockey Twitter and Kane's Twitter has been way too good to us. And if you meet someone who is way too good to you, you make them yours. I think not only about Kane's Twitter, but I also think about Merrick versus Wyshynski Twitter. I think about all of the great friends that it has brought to us, like Steve Dangle and Matt Riegler and NHL History Girl and Scotty Waz and Trash Newton and Paige Lewis, all people who deserve shout outs who probably never listen to this podcast, but we love.
We know one of them does. I won't say which one.
And we love. And if they were to ever say, hey, look, I need a kidney, I would say, which one do you need? And they would ask for the left. And I would probably say, oh, cool story. The left's a little hurt right now. I would give you the right. But then we would, eventually we'd trade a bottle of booze and they would get a kidney. So
that seems like the worst thing to give someone who's...
They usually take the left, by the way.
Do they? Okay, good. So they usually take
the left. I am informed on this topic.
As well I know. So as Corey looks at his watch going, yeah, look at the time. Got to get out of here, boys. So that's... I guess I am killing Kane's Facebook.
Yep.
I am effing Reddit. And I am marrying Twitter because I think, regardless of what I would say, I am common law married to Kane's Twitter at this point anyway.
Fair enough. What you got?
What do I have? I have a screen here.
I know there are two more at least that I hope we get to.
Derek, I have this one from... actually, you know what? We'll save that one.
Is it from Ed? Because that's the one to end on.
Yeah, Ed's we're going to finish on. Actually, I'm going to send this one over to Corey first. This one's from Luke Schull. He is at Luke to you with multiple
Luke,
U's.
Not you.
That too. F. Mary Kill franchise direction edition. Leaving the kids in Charlotte to develop further chemistry and a winning culture. Gutting the coaching staff. Unexpected massive splash at the trade deadline. Let me read that one more time because that one was pretty deep. So,
verbose,
of course,
very
it is leaving the kids in Charlotte to develop chemistry and a winning culture. That's one. Number two, gutting the coaching staff. Number three, unexpected massive splash at the trade deadline. F. Mary Kill.
Wow. I would probably... I'd probably kill the Charlotte one.
Okay.
So
you were part of hashtag Free Zykov. Good to know.
No, but I think that the winning culture in the AHL thing is whatever it is. Is that me making that shake?
No, I have no idea what that was.
That's probably me leaning up against and shaking glasses because I'm vibrating because I hate Derek Ryan so much.
I would. God, what was it? It was either gut the coaching staff or
a big splash at the trade deadline.
I'd probably be married to the coaching staff and
married to gutting the coaching staff.
Yeah, if I have to choose.
Okay, well, you do.
Well, yeah, like I said, coaches don't turn these things around, in my opinion. So, and then we would have to f the
splash
the splash at the deadline.
That's
so
because I think the owner might just be crazy enough to do it.
Chief hockey consultant for the North State Journal has intimate relations with Jonathan Tavares. News at 11.
There you go. Mike, one that another.
Oh, you didn't answer that question.
Oh, I didn't realize I was on the hook.
Do you agree with hashtag local media?
Yeah, I do.
Good to see that you agree with local media. How's your feelings about Cam Ward? Don't answer that question. Ask me something.
All right. This is another one from Dane because he was firing off great questions this week from at @playoffbeard80. F. Mary Kill, free parking at every game, free beer at every game, I assume one per person, and one free authentic Canes jersey per year from the I for season ticket members. F. Mary Kill, those three options. Mike Flanagan.
Very simply, free beer at every game. I am killing that because Canes fans can be assholes. And there's a lot of Pens fans who are also Canes fans, so I am killing with flaming vengeance, Derek Ryan, Justin Falk.
With great vengeance and furious anger.
Yes, I am killing free beer. Sorry, guys, who are disappointed in that. Which means that I am completely effing that jersey because, let's be honest, fabric. And then the last one is I'm going to marry free parking because free parking at $15 a game times 42 games. I'm doing
and
the
that
math.
And that 15 is with your season ticket discount.
That's with my discount. That is much cheaper than that one authentic jersey that I am doing inexplicable Johnston County things to. So that's what I'm doing.
I'm not even going to say what my first thought was.
What was your second thought? Don't answer that question.
I didn't have one. I try not to have more than one thought at a time about Johnston County.
Or just in general. So here we go. Last question.
Yeah,
this is
we know
to
which
both,
one this is.
Both of the gentlemen to my right. This is from Ed. He is that Edmund guy. Corey, you may have to put on your wrestling hat here, so be prepared.
Okay. Is it going to be like 80s wrestling? Because otherwise I might be in trouble.
It's 90s wrestling.
You'll be fine.
I might be okay.
You know this moment.
You're also a dad, so you're going to get this. F. Mary Kill, taking a headshot or knee to D from Mark Giordano, being thrown off Hell in a Cell by The Undertaker, stepping on a Lego. F. Mary Kill. Derek, before I get to you,
yeah,
I'm going to the dad in the room because,
I mean, yeah, all three of us are dads, sir.
I'm just grizzled.
Well, he's grizzled. Your child
has not approached the Lego stage yet.
Yeah, she's not at Lego stage yet.
I'm out of the Lego stage, which is amazing.
Okay. Well, again, so you have experience to speak from here.
Yes.
You are the Justin wounds. Williams of this three-man team because, you know, you're not going to make this team any better, but, you know, your promise is going to be great.
I'm going to get $6 million. So.
Yes.
I guess you could kill the Undertaker, throw me Hell in the Cell.
Okay. You do not want to be thrown off the Hell.
Yeah,
okay.
That doesn't sound good. Okay. You can F the Lego. And then what was the, I don't even remember what the other one was.
That would be marrying, taking a headshot.
Yeah, I'll take that. Mark, I've always wanted to meet Mr. Bean, so. No, okay. Nothing?
Derek?
Have you not noticed?
I didn't notice he looked like Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, boy.
Yeah?
Let me take out my phone.
Please do.
Actually, just Google Mark Giordano, Mr. Bean, and that will solve your problems.
God, I hate to once again completely agree with local media, but I might have to. Yeah, I'm definitely effing being thrown off a hell by the hell on a cell, hell in a cell, geez, structure by the Undertaker. I want nothing to do with that. Ugh. I'm gonna F stepping on a Lego because, yeah, I gotta marry the knee to knee or a headshot.
Okay, Derek, I'll change this up, give you one quick last one. This one from at Matt Peterson, P.E. I want to respect him because his wife scares me. Now that Fanuary is over, F. Mary Kill, Kane's Pass, $40, lower level flash sales, upper level upgrades. Quick, go.
I'm going to marry the $40. No, I'm gonna marry the Kane's Pass. I'm going to F the $40 flash sale, and I'm going to kill the upper level upgrade.
Yeah, because while we appreciated the upgrades, people look at us weird when we're downstairs and we're doing our thing.
And I'm so tall. When I sit downstairs, I don't have the leg room, and I get bruises on my shins.
Ooh, and your shins are quite tender.
Yeah, there's not a lot of padding on the shin bone.
Speaking of things that are tender and without padding, tell us about this beer that you got from Bottle Mixer. Ooh. Check out that
Segui. So yeah, over the weekend, I swung through Bottle Mix. I went and talked to Dustin. He's at Bottle Mix off Creedmoor Road in North Raleigh, behind the Wendy's, behind the Five Guys. So you go get a nice Five Guys burger, head over to Bottle Mix and buy some delicious beer. I got a New England style IPA from Four Saints Brewing in Asheboro, North Carolina. So after you go to the zoo, head over to Four Saints, pick up a Bandwagon. It's a New England style IPA. So it's an unfiltered IPA. It pours, kind of looks like orange juice, and that's a beautiful thing. This is described on the can as having immense dry hop additions, including Cascade, Mosaic, Citra, Crystal, El Dorado, and Nugget hops. A hop aroma like I wouldn't believe. I do believe it, actually. And it's juicy character for days. They say the addition of terrified wheat. Did they really say terrified? Torrified, maybe. And naked oats. Jesus, this is lewd. Provide the deep haze that is a signature character of the New England IPA style. Pretty much, if you've listened to me review beers for a while and you hear me talk about beers that are brewed with Citra hops, you know, to me, that's just cheating because it's my favorite hop. It's got that delicious citrus fruit, a slight tropical character. It's bright. It's juicy. It's delicious. And the qualities in that hop, plus some of the other ones that were mentioned there, like Mosaic, lend themselves well, in my opinion, to a New England IPA. So you crack the can of this. It's a 16-ounce can. It's about $3 or so a can, and it's a 16-ounce. So you're going to get a lot of good beer at 6% alcohol. It really does pour a hazy, unfiltered, almost orange juicy kind of color. And the aromas on it are very smooth. It's a lot of fruit, a lot of citrus. If you're turned off by some of the aggressive hops and bitterness or pine of other IPAs, I do recommend New England style IPAs. They're typically a little softer, a little more rounded, and easier to drink without that hop assertiveness up front or bitterness on the finish. And this is exemplary of that style. It goes down really smooth. You get a lot of tropical fruit. There's that really juicy, like orange, almost a pineapple and some citrus. And it's just a well-rounded palate and a whole hell of a lot of flavor in a can. And it's good North Carolina beer. So as much as I love good craft beer from wherever it hails, I will give deference to North Carolina craft beer when I can, because you know, drinking local is a phenomenal thing to do. So go to Bottle Mix. Tell Dustin you heard about the Four Saints Bandwagon IPA. Pick a can up. Pick up a 4-pack or a 6-pack. I'm not sure what they come in, but get some. They're fantastic. They also still have some more Son of Baptist that we reviewed last time on the podcast. So I picked up more of that for myself because it's so damn good. And if you want to know what's new at Bottle Mix, if you're a beer person or if you're a wine person, or you just like good like local snacks, they have some chips that are made from an NC State grad at Bottle Mix. Follow them on social media. They're at Bottle Mix on Instagram. That's BOTTLEMIXX. Same goes on Twitter. Also on Facebook. They are really good about putting pictures up of all the new stuff that comes in. So you can say, oh crap, that bottle or can of whatever sounds like something I need in my life. And you can swing by and pick it up and then go talk to Dustin. Go talk to Bruce. And they will set you up with whatever it is you need.
So, Derek, speaking of that, if you go by and pick up a 4-pack of this week's Section 328 Beer of the Week, bring the receipt by the Section 328 tailgate in the East Lot after 5 p.m. on Friday. Come find me. I'm Mike. Show me the receipt. I will pull $10 out of my wallet and I will hand it to you. I'll be in the lot from about 5:15 until about 6:20.
Well, if it's a 7:30 game.
Until 6:45. If you have found me in the East lot and you say, hey, Mike, I went out, I bought a 4-pack of the Section 328 Beer of the Week. Here's my receipt. I will hand you a crisp $10 bill and say thank you for supporting our sponsor. And thank you for being a loyal member of the Section 328 family. Much like our friend, the sports editor and lead janitor at the North State Journal.
That's totally true.
Custodial engineer.
Custodial engineer. Corey Lavalette. Corey, thank you so much for taking some time out of your night, sir, to listen to me just rant. Derek, also, point of interest, longest cheaters never win ever tonight.
Yeah, we've been standing here forever.
Yeah, so sorry. I ranted a lot.
Remember that time when you said, Corey, hey, you know you're going to have to listen to 45 minutes of this? Yeah. Was that the first half?
That sucked. Sucked for Corey. Didn't suck for our fans because, you know, they're here and they're listening and they get to hear somebody like Corey who actually gets to be around the team every day as opposed to me who is just losing his ever-loving mind. So, guys, thanks so much for taking some time out. Friday is a new day. The Carolina Hurricanes will be on the ice. And, Derek, I believe some friends are joining us on Friday night.
The Oak City supporters will be there bringing at least 30 people with them. The new day will not be there.
Damn it.
But the Oak City men and women will be there. If you were at You Can Play Night last year and you noticed a few dozen people singing damn near all game, that was this lovely bunch of people. So they're going to be there again on Friday, making all kinds of noise, having a phenomenal time. So 328 is going to be much louder, much more musical than it usually is. And I personally cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for Ryan and the entire team from the Oak City supporters to join us. You may also hear Ryan and his crew over at Raleigh City Sports. They have a great podcast where they cover not only the Carolina Hurricanes, but everything in Raleigh City Sports. Also, the Red Eye Revolution is a new Twitter account that you can go out there and find. They're a group of soccer supporters who are trying to bring soccer lifestyle over to the Carolina Hurricanes. So shout out to our buddies over at Red Eye Revolution. But Friday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins, OCS is coming 30, if not 50 deep into the last four rows of Section 328. We'll be singing, we'll be dancing, we'll be partying, and probably we'll be destroying the Pittsburgh Penguins because, you know, after you've lost three pivotal games and you've had four days off, what do? We infuse the fan base with hope because you can't remove and suck the life out of a hopeful fan base without first having infused them with hope. So I look forward to two goals by Derek Ryan, two goals by Justin Falk, and I don't know, three assists by Klaus Dahlbeck. F me, F my life. I hate this team. They are absolutely ruining my life, Derek.
So who are you going to marry and kill? Do I need to leave like for my own safety right now?
I'm marrying Corey. Uh-oh. I'm effing you. So until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is Corey.
And for those of you who don't realize what's about to happen, you guys can go over to pornhub.com/section328, and we are out of here.